Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hot stuff.
Welcome to another edition of the Fansmanship.com podcast. Owen Main here, and in studio we have today a special guest, the head coach at Mission Prep boys basketball, Terrence Harris. Terrence, what's going on?
How you doing, Owen? Thanks for having me on, man.
I'm well, thanks. It's Terrence is somebody I've known at least peripherally since probably like maybe even seventh or eighth grade, since he was a Laguna Lancer. Right,
I went to Mission.
You went to Mission?
OMS, but yeah.
You didn't go to Laguna in like seventh grade?
No, I was OMS, but we still
okay.
We had some battles.
Some OMS battles and early on, yeah.
And definitely in high school.
Yeah, absolutely. And Terrence at Mission played basketball, but he also played a little baseball, dabbled in football early on, and has been the coach there for how many years now?
This is my seventh season as the head coach at Mission Prep, and I spent 5 years as an assistant coach as well.
That kind of blows my mind, like, that we're that old where, like, you know, you haven't, you didn't do it, like, right out of college, like, you weren't the coach, but you've been the coach now for 7 years.
Yeah, it's coming up on 10 years since I graduated from college, and that blows my mind. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You are right.
Yeah, that's, you know, when you're in your early 30s now, you start to wonder if it's like if it's still ahead of you, or if like, oh man, seven years is a long time. And you know, I have friends who've been like teaching for 10 years,
right?
That just it like I said, it kind of blows my mind.
We're growing up.
After high school, I was like kind of out of the county for like 7+ years, so describe kind of the process of how you got into coaching at Mission, being involved at Mission for, you know, 15+ years now with high school.
Yeah, I actually I tried to play at Cal Poly. I tried to walk on to the basketball team and didn't make the team.
I always wondered about that. I knew you went to Poly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted to play. Didn't make the team. And I went back to a Mission and said, hey, you know, I'd like to stay involved with basketball somehow, some way. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Tom Mott had taken over the program as the head coach. And he said, hey, I'm more than happy to have you. So I began coaching with Tom.
Okay. And yeah, I had a similar experience getting cut from like a D3 school, so kind of UCSD. So I definitely can feel wanting to kind of continue on, and then it being kind of a hard thing. So Tom brought you on. Now, was Tom your coach when you were a senior?
He was an assistant.
Okay.
I was in high school, he was an assistant.
And it was your brother, right?
My brother, Darnell, was actually the head coach for 4 or 5 seasons. Huh. And then Tom took over. Tom was his assistant the entire time.
Okay.
And then Tom took over the program, and I was his assistant. Once he left, I took over the program. So we've kept it in the Mission family for quite some time, all three of us as alumni of Mission Prep.
Yeah, so you grew up with your brother as your coach.
I did.
Tell me about like what you learned from him, how that was. What's that experience like?
Oh, it was a wild experience. I mean, in a lot of ways it's great, in a lot of ways it's also tough, because you know, he knows that he can have higher expectations of me than he can have of other people. So I always felt that type of pressure, but I also learned a lot from him. He's a great competitor. He was a great athlete when he was in high school. He played football for a couple of years at Cal Poly. Okay. So Darnell had a great mentality about what it takes to win and what it takes to get the most out of yourself. And I think that was one of the things I learned most from him.
Yeah, great. And then working under Tom, of course, and Tom, we'll talk about the Christmas Classic in a second. It was kind of, was it his brainchild originally, I would think?
More or less, right? Yeah. It was, he worked for a company called Rim Rattler at the time, and yeah. Rim Rattler wanted to bring some sort of tournament, but Tom really had a vision of bringing high quality, high action basketball to the Central Coast. And he's a go-getter. He's real good at these type of things. So he was the one who originally put all the energy behind trying to find teams from out of state and, you know, the best teams in California and getting them out to the Central Coast to bring a great tournament to the area.
Yeah. And we'll get to the tournament in a second. I kind of want to stay on kind of the when you started coaching thing, you know, high school sports, you played high school sports, but now you're coaching them. What was the most surprising thing, even though, you know, your brother was your coach, so you had a lot of exposure to all the things that it takes to be a coach in high school? What was kind of the most surprising thing for you when you kind of took the reins, even moving from an assistant to a head coach in high school?
I think the biggest difference and the biggest surprise was how much work goes into not just the practice and showing up to games. You know, that was easy, especially as an assistant coach. You know, I helped game plan or whatnot, helped do practice plans, but there's so much more behind the scenes work that has to be done, making sure that kids are doing well in school, working with the parents, working with the administration, right, making sure that the mission of our school is being fed, as well as, you know, the basketball program. So
the mission,
exactly. Yeah. So I never thought about that side of things, like all the work that goes behind the scenes. For me, it was just basketball. You know, I love basketball. I love competing. Want to be able to work with these kids. I wanted to be able to give back to the school. Really, that was my thing when I first started. It was like, okay, the school gave a lot to me. I'd like to give back to the school. This is a way I can do
that. Were you just like volunteering at first?
Right. Kind of, yeah. At first, I did it for nothing. Right. You know, even being a head coach, it's almost like volunteering. But you know, we're obviously, coaches aren't in it for the money. They're in it help mentor young people. Yeah. And honestly, because I love competition and I love being able to stay in a competitive mode.
Great. And so, you know, kind of transitioning to that thing, I heard a former NBA coach, Eric Musselman, one time, he was talking to a group of coaches. I was at a coaching clinic and Musselman said, you know, being an NBA coach is not that much different from being a high school coach. You deal with parents, we deal with agents. Huh. You deal with, you know, players with egos. You deal with players with egos too. We do too. And, right, and kind of some of the core principles being very, very similar, whether you're dealing with adults in the NBA or whether you're dealing with, you know, 14, 15-year-olds and some of that extra stuff that you know that you have to kind of manage and deal with. When I was in Florida, the coach would, you know, he had the detail down to who was running the snack bar on what night.
Right.
And all this stuff that, you know, you would never think of, like you said, showing up to practice, showing up to the game. There's a lot of other organization, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Things. You know, I have a similar story too. I ran into Mark Few, the Gonzaga head coach. And I said something along the lines of, man, I don't think I could coach in college. You know, there's so much more that you have to deal with. And I was referring to the players and, you know, managing egos and expectations and all that kind of stuff. And he said, you know what, at the end of the day, it's not that different than high school. It's the same thing, the same concepts. And these guys want to win, your guys want to win, and it's finding ways to get these guys to win.
Right. The same craft that you go through, you know, good and bad.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly. Here with Terrence Harris, the head coach at Mission Prep. Mission starts their MCP Christmas Classic on Wednesday.
Wednesday the 19th. Okay. I think the first game tips off at 2:00 in the afternoon, and then we'll go all the way through Saturday night. So
it goes like all day Wednesday and then all day Thursday.
Right.
All day. How many teams are coming?
We have 16 total teams that will participate in the tournament.
So you have like 2 8-team divisions usually, right?
Yeah, two separate brackets. We have what we call the national bracket and the elite bracket. The national bracket will feature teams like Imhotep Charter, which is a team out of Philadelphia. They're the defending Pennsylvania state champions. It'll also feature Bishop Montgomery from Torrance, California, and they are a perennial Southern California powerhouse. So those are the type of teams that we have coming for the national bracket. And then the elite bracket will feature some local teams, as well as some teams from out of the area. We'll have Rigetti. We'll have ourselves and San Luis Obispo High School as the local teams. But we have Team Mission Hills from San Diego, who features a kid Rooks, Sean Rooks' son.
Oh, really?
Rooks used to play in the NBA.
Yeah, no, for the Lakers?
Fellow Laker fan. So,
the Mavericks, I think.
Yeah. So a lot of good teams, a lot of good talent coming to the coast.
Awesome. I kind of sometimes describe myself, kind of self-described, as myopic. How is high school hoops in this county over the past few years, 15 years, say? I mean, 15 years ago, we were probably freshmen in high school or something close to that, sophomores maybe.
Right.
Over the past 15 years, how is high school hoops in the county changed in your mind?
I think one of the things that's changed most dramatically is how much kids play. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, I didn't have an AAU team or anything like that.
Organized. How much they play organized.
Right. You know, we went to the Mill Street Rec or to Cal Poly to get our hoops in the off season. And now the kids that are most dedicated, they play year round, you know. And I think that was happening in other areas. But for San Luis Obispo, I think it's really picked up quite a bit. And a lot of these kids will travel to L.A. or even the Bay Area during the spring and the fall to get on club teams. So that has dramatically changed. The talent has fluctuated. You know, it goes up and it goes down. I think
it's a small community.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
We've had guys like Joel Smith from Lompoc in the tournament, and that was when it first started. He was probably one of the higher profile local players to come through, but it's gone up and down. We've had guys like Derek Jasper. Last year, Zach Allman, you know, one of the last kids since Jasper to get a Division I scholarship from around here.
From Sell County, yeah.
Yeah, but I think just the amount that guys play, especially AAU and travel ball, that has drastically changed in the last 15 years.
Sure, and, you know, I always use the example, growing up in Cayucas, we didn't have a gym.
Right.
And so we used to, like, have our own kind of open gym, and I'm using air quotes here. You know, we'd break into the gym up at Coast,
right.
You know, in, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th grade. And, you know, somebody would just happen to, like, you know, have a key or, you know, leave it open somehow or whatever, and get in there. And that was how we got to play, or we'd play outside at San Lucio or at Cayucas, you know,
right.
In the summer, everybody'd call everybody else, and it was less organized. Mm-hmm. I think what you're seeing now is a more kind of organized approach, to where there are organized opportunities.
And I think with my guys specifically, the thing I see more often than not is these guys want to work on their craft themselves. So I have my guys calling me all year round, wanting to get in the gym, whether it's before school or in the evening. You know, they want to work on their craft. They want to get shots up. They want to work on their ball handling. They're frustrated with, you know, they haven't been making their free throws, and they're willing and initiating, wanting to work on it. Not me saying, hey, you need to get in the gym, but they really want to get after it.
It's got
to
be a craft. Great feeling as a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the reasons why I still coach. You know, I feel like if you're coaching kids that really don't want to be there,
right.
Then it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be productive. But
right.
These kids want to be there. They want to work hard. So it makes it easy for me to want to work with them.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. What do you find from a small school standpoint? Mission's a small school. There are fewer small schools around now. Mm-hmm. There's kind of, you're either a really small school or you're like a pretty good sized school. There's no kind of in between league anymore. Describe that kind of transition for you guys and the importance of the tournament in terms of being kind of a freelance independent type of a team. You guys aren't in a league, right? Still?
We're currently not in a league. We're hoping to get in a league within the next year or two.
Okay.
That's something that's being discussed amongst the athletic directors locally. And we're hoping we get an opportunity to play in a local league. We'll see how that turns out. Yeah, in terms of being a freelance school, this tournament is big for us. What we do after Christmas is usually big for us. We really want to challenge ourselves and give our students an opportunity to play in a competitive arena. These kids look forward to this each and every year. They look forward to the opportunity to play against some of the best players that you're going to see. Last year, we played against San Joaquin Memorial, and their seven-footer was supposed to be going to Kansas State. When Frank Martin decided to go to, I think, South Carolina, he ended up staying at home and going to Fresno State. But it's...
Oh, it was that kid who they played at Poly this last
year. Yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
Just played here recently, you know. And so getting an opportunity...
That was his first eligible game was the game that they played at Poly.
Yeah. Right. Getting a chance to play against guys like that, or we played against DeMar DeRozan. We played against Quincy Pondexter in this tournament and the Lopez twins, you know. These kids will remember those experiences for the rest of their lives.
Being a small school too, and your football program has been really strong these last few years.
Yeah.
But being a small school, we had a band teacher up at Coast Union back in the day who wanted athletes in his band, knowing that there were some things that they weren't going to be able to make it to.
Right.
And saying that if everybody doesn't do everything, nobody does anything. How much crossover do you guys have between the basketball and the football team?
This year we had a lot of crossover, and not just crossover, but key crossover, you know. Five guys from the football team were also playing basketball, and each of those five kids were guys that were really going to be heavy in the rotation, you know, that had earned either starters minutes or six man minutes or those type of things during the summer and during last season. So it was a challenge. It was a challenge for the six guys who were out to stay competitive when you're having practice with only six guys, or we practiced against the JV squad, or we had to get creative with practices.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, it's awesome for our school and for those kids that are in the football program to be able to experience what they did. They had a historical season.
Right.
And you can't help but root for them to, you know, to win a championship and make history, even though you know it's going to be impacting the basketball season.
Yeah, when you make a deep run like that, it's a tough thing. Now during that time, I mean, that's got to set you guys back a little bit in terms of practice and so forth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it a little bit more difficult. You know, one thing is the guys know, they know how to play, they know the game, but still, it's a transition from football to basketball. It certainly set us back in being able to work on some specific stuff and getting the chemistry going and all those kind of things. But you know, our mindset coming into this was, let's make sure that we maintain through December, and hopefully by January we've got that chemistry kicking in and we've done well enough to still be in the hunt for playoff contention and all those kind of good things.
And obviously it hasn't hurt you guys that much. I mean, what's your record? 6-1?
We're 5-1 to start. Yeah. Okay. So we've had a great start, even considering some of the difficulties with having football do so well. My hope is that we continue to get better. I think there's still a lot of things that will fall into place. Guys really feeling comfortable and confident in what they're doing on the basketball court. You know, that first tournament, we were really limited, even in the plays we were running and those type of things.
You have to be, yeah.
Yeah, guys had only had two practices before that first tournament. So it was a challenge, but we did well with handling the challenge, I think.
Right on, yeah. Back in the day, you know, I played three sports, and I remember – we didn't go deep in football when I was a senior. We went to the playoffs, but maybe lost in the first round. So that transition wasn't that hard. But then basketball,
you won CIF.
We won CIF, and then we won a state game or two. And so, like, going to baseball then, and baseball's the hardest, I think, to just jump right into.
Right.
We went into baseball, and I think one practice into baseball, and I remember the baseball season just being so weird that year because there was no, like, lead up practice. It was like I was playing in a game 2 days after like losing the last basketball game. And that's a hard thing, you know, transition wise. Maybe not as hard to basketball though, because like you said, if you know how to play, it's a more kind of flowy game, you know, baseball. So it's such like a repetition kind of a sport. It's a little different.
Yeah. I think baseball is one of the hardest sports period to take time away from, you know, if you're not in the batting cage, if you're not taking fielding ground balls or fly balls or whatever it might be, just that rhythm and that timing, especially at the plate, being an aggressive batter. But I think the hardest thing, two things in terms of the transition.
And Terrence used to track down some balls out in center field at Michigan back in the day too.
I had my fair share of plays in center field. Yeah, I used to love it.
Before there was a fence or anything out there.
Yeah,
man.
Just give me room to roam.
Way deep out there. Sorry.
A little flashback. Yeah,
absolutely. Like I said, sometimes I'm self-described myopic. Are kids today substantively different from 15 years ago? Like being in your kind of having some perspective now on that. I always, you know, felt like, you know, kids were always this way when I was, you know, in high school or whatever, but are they substantively different than they were 15 years ago, or in what ways are the same or different? And like, what does that mean for you as a coach?
I think at the core, kids are kids, you know, and we see the same things now that we experienced as high school kids. The difference is our maturity and our knowledge and our know-how and thinking, man, What are you doing here? Or, hey, how about this idea? And being able to try and put yourself in the shoes of a 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid and reminding yourself, hey, I was a kid, I made these same mistakes, or I had these same ambitions, or I had whatever it might be. I think the biggest difference, again, is just our maturity. But kids are kids at their core. They're the same today as they were probably 15 years ago and 30 years ago and so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about the Christmas Classic now. I know you talked about it a little bit earlier, but tell me about the history of it. We talked a little bit about how it was kind of Tom's brainchild. It used to be at Mott.
Right.
That was the first one that I ever went to. Was I saw some team from Florida 1 year. Maybe it was like 2001 or 2000. maybe 2002. There was some team from Miami that used to come,
yeah,
or that came, and I remember watching this little guard. He's probably a guy who played like Division I somewhere, and he's probably somebody I know his name now, but right. I just didn't.
Marcus Barnes might be who you're talking about.
Yeah, or possibly.
There were two teams from Florida that first year, Miami Senior High School and Miami Christian High School.
Okay.
And both of them were explosive teams with some
players.
Some great players. Yeah. One of those point guards, Junior Marcus Barnes, I think, was one of them, and Junior Ortiz or Junior was the other kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were amazing. That was the beginning. This is 14 years later. So this is
crazy.
You're 14. It is.
Again,
it's crazy how far it's come.
And what does it mean to have it at your school? Like, so you guys got your gym built. I mean, what did that mean to your program? What does that mean to your school to be able to have that, to host it at Mission? Actually,
yeah, it's great for our campus. It's great for we really try and make it a community feel for the tournament. We try and demonstrate a lot of hospitality to the teams coming in. So we really do want it to be a home kind of feel. We provide dinner for all the teams and all that kind of stuff. But just to get our students involved and our administration involved and bring the community into our place and give our kids a chance to play some extra home games and those type of things. I remember the first year that we had it at Mission, we had the gym ready, but the bleachers weren't even in yet. So we had to put up risers on the side.
Okay.
It was like, okay, we're just going to make this happen.
You just got to do it.
Yeah. That was the first year. And now, of course, it's established. The gym is up and running. And
how many years has the gym been around now for?
Let's see. This is probably, gosh,
like seven or eight years.
Yeah. I guess it has to be at least 8 years because this is my seventh year coaching, and we had that gym at least 1 year that Tom was coaching, if not two
beforehand. Cool. Yeah. One thing that I always have a good time with is to see the basketball community around the Central Coast, as much as, you know, it's kind of up and down and whatever. It's usually pretty like laid back, not like, you don't see like, the hype that you see in some places. I love seeing the hype come to the Central Coast for some of this stuff in a fun way.
Right.
I don't even remember what team it was, but some team had like, probably like, 10 assistant coaches sitting on the bench. The team's bringing their own PA guys.
Oh yeah.
That's part of the fun, I feel like, for this tournament though, is to kind of bring some of that flavor.
You see
to
something
fans
different
from here. Yeah.
Yeah. You see something different. You get a feel for how the style of basketball in different places.
Yeah.
You know, some places play without a shot clock. Just the energy that people bring.
I coached in Florida without a shot clock.
Yeah.
We held the ball one time in the third quarter for our point guard, got his fourth foul. Huh. And the guy who was like our only scorer had got like his fourth foul in the third quarter, and we were down by like 8 points or something. It was like 38-30, and we held
the
ball.
So you just held it.
And they didn't come out on us because they had a lead, and we just held the ball at half court for like 8 minutes.
Well, I had a similar experience
in the third quarter,
except for we were in Chicago playing in a tournament, and we were actually ahead.
Uh-huh.
And the opposing coach was furious that we were playing a zone. And he was
that
yelling.
You were ahead and you were playing his own.
Right. Mm-hmm. He was yelling across the bench, play like, man. Why don't you play man to man? And I'm like, because we're beating you by playing a zone. So he had his point guard hold the ball at the top of the key. And I'm looking over and I'm like,
okay,
we're winning.
Yeah.
You can stand up there if you'd like.
And that's what that team did.
We're going to win this game.
And then people in the crowd get all like, oh, what are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to go with the rules. It's kind of like a hack-a-shack, you know?
Yeah.
The rules are the rules, and we're going to do what we can to win.
Yeah, that was one of the most bizarre things, because the kid would just sit there, and he was like looking at our bench, and he just holding the ball, and everybody's just standing there, and literally for like, and you know, kids crossing their arms, okay, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever, for like 5 or 8 minutes. It was really kind of a nutty thing, But that's part of the fun of getting teams from all over, from all different places here and to see, like you said, different styles and so forth. What night's the dunk contest on? Speaking of things that we don't see a lot.
Dunk contest will be Friday evening, always a highlight of the tournament. But yeah, we should have some high flyers. We always do.
Does Mission Prep have a dunk contest entrant?
Mission Prep likely will. We've got a young man who's been talking about getting in the dunk contest. So I think Connor Wolpert is leaning towards participating.
Yeah,
we'll see. He's opened up his repertoire a little bit. playing above the rim. Got a few in-game dunks this year. Okay. He's ready. He's been working on it.
He's focused. I was down at the UCLA-Cal Poly game this year, and Zach Allman, of course, is probably participated in it in the past, I'm sure. And he's of course, redshirting this year, but he's still warming up and stuff. And I'm watching the warm-ups, and he goes for a between-the-legs, like, Kobe Bryant dunk contest
in warm-ups. Oh, man.
It was awesome. Yeah. I don't think he quite got it, but it was pretty good. And they got some guys this year at Cal Poly that can really get up more than a lot of
they've got some
previous
athletes.
Years.
Chris Eversley, tremendous athlete. Even Drake Uyu, Joel. So they've got some guys that can rise a little bit.
Zach Gordon is a freshman, and he's getting up. He dunked on somebody in St. Mary's. It was pretty cool. Like, they were down by 15 or something, but he made a nice little baseline move and threw down. You haven't seen this many guys, I think, there be able to do that. And I think Calero's really trying to effort that way. I wanted to ask you about this because it seems like, I don't know how much you went to like basketball camps around here when you were younger, but you know, I used to always go to the one at Cuesta.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were always the same coaches, Larson from Paso, Tamalier from Atascadero.
Mm-hmm. Purcell.
Purcell from AG, who used to coach when my dad played at Morro Bay back in like the 60s. Wow. So like that's...
He had been around for a while, definitely.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember one time he like grabbed me and like put me somewhere. I was like, oh man.
Who is this guy?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you always saw kind of some of those same, that group of coaches, and you felt like, you know, looking back on it, those guys must have had a pretty nice like fraternity as far as local high school coaches go.
Right.
Nowadays it seems like it's shifting a little bit. You see Tamalier and Larson retiring.
Right.
Guys like Lefty and Matt Knudsen is up at the Atascadero now. Is there still kind of a camaraderie that way as far as local coaches? How much do you guys like communicate, talk? Is there any kind of
I'd say yes and no. I mean, you certainly have your allies out there.
Guys who you know, guys who...
Right. They're guys who I go to if I need some help with a scouting report or film or those type of things. And for us, we're not in a league, so we don't see everybody on that regular basis like other teams and schools do. But you still have your allies out there. But I think you're right. There's absolutely a paradigm shift. There's not as many coaches right now who have been around for 15, 20 years, that type of thing. You know, some of those long-timers have stepped down, the Larsons, the Tamaliers, Byers from AG, who was there for a really long time, those type of coaches.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have, you know, I think maybe Coach Glanville, Ryan Glanville out of AG might be one of the longer tenured, Barbaric from Rigetti. Mm-hmm. Those are probably some of the longer tenured coaches, Gary West from Cabrillo. And then, you know, we got a group of young guys or newer coaches.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for Lefty, as we all know, Matt Knudsen up in Atascadero. I think he's going to be great for their program. And
Agreed. Yeah. I'm going to try to get him on the program. We're going to try to cover at least some preps this year. I know last year we were kind of, you know, just kind of getting up and running here at Fansmanship. So I think we'll try to at least get some pictures posted from different games, and the fact that we're in San Luis Obispo kind of bodes well for being able to go to the tournament this week. Tell me a little bit more about this year's team. You mentioned Connor Wolpert, right? And and I know there's a guard who's been getting some praise from different places. He's a sophomore, I think, right?
Yeah, Quentin Adlish has gotten some love. He played with the Compton Magic this spring and summer, and that went really well for him. Andy Raleigh is...
Do kids like that drive down on a twice, three times a week basis all the way to like L.A.?
Yeah, that's basically during the spring or during the summer. That's the commitment that they put in. That was a big thing for Zach Allman, too. He played with the Rockfish.
The Rockfish,
when he was...
I had a roommate in college who played for the Rockfish back in the day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was good for Zach because that's really when he started to get recruited by playing at that level. Same thing for Quentin. And then we have a couple seniors this year, Connor Wolpert and Andy Raleigh, who are getting some recognition from coaches who've had some... walk-on offers at the D1 level, but they've also got a lot of interest at the D2 level and some NAIA stuff. So we'll see what ends up happening with them. This is actually a really senior-heavy team for me.
Okay.
I mean, we have five seniors on the team this year, you know, that's different, especially as key contributors. There are several guys who play heavy minutes as seniors for us, and a lot of times we've had a young team, and it's like, okay, we're building, but this is a senior team, a lot of senior leadership. And hopefully that bodes well for us as we continue on.
Yeah. And at Mission, that is kind of a rare thing too, because you guys usually get like a lot of kind of really high talent level guys who are playing varsity
at a freshman
and sophomore.
Yeah.
And so you might have a wide variety, more like a college roster where you see like
right.
you know, a lot of like freshmen and sophomores, for instance, who might be playing at a varsity level. So five is a pretty big amount for you guys,
it's
right?
It's certainly the norm for us to have a freshman or two playing.
Right.
And this year we have no freshmen up on varsity. We do have two sophomores up on varsity. But this is probably one of the best JV teams that we've had in a really long time. So that just goes to show you, you know, we've got a good core group at the JV level. We've got five seniors who are with us. And all of these seniors, four out of the five seniors played as sophomores on the varsity team. So they've been there for a while.
Right. Yeah. Talk about this team's makeup. I mean, I don't know anything about your team. I haven't mm-hmm. been to a lot of high school games in the last 3 or 4 years. Talk to me a little bit about your team. I know, like, so I've been watching a lot of Cal Poly lately. So, like, Joe Calera will talk forever about Chris O'Brien if you want to.
Right.
And Chris O'Brien's not a guy who is going to, like, show up if you look at a box score or something like that.
Right.
Talk to me about your team, about maybe you talked about Connor and you talked about some of your other players, but who are some of those guys who kind of make the team go? If they're successful, you guys are, you know, doing a really good job. If they're kind of off their game, maybe it's a little bit tougher game.
Yeah, we have probably a similar team to that. You know, you'll have guys like Connor and Andy and Quentin as our leading scorers. But we've got some kids like Patrick Laird, Michael Cardwell, Tyler Beatty that do a lot of, as we call it, the dirty work. You know, those are some of our more physical players.
Are those guys football players?
They are certainly football players
so,
as well.
My mind gets blown. I just got to go on a rant here for a second. My mind gets blown at coaches who don't like to have multi-sport athletes on their team. I mean, obviously you don't get as much time with them if the football season goes a long way, but I feel like those guys know how to be on a team so much because they're on different teams throughout the year. It really brings something to the table when you have a kid who's a multi-sport athlete.
Yeah, there's nothing like a football locker room. You know, when you have a successful football program, I think it actually really benefits the school in general, not just the football program. It benefits basketball, it benefits other sports. And second of all, they bring a toughness to the court that we need, you know. To me, it's a great thing. I actually encouraged Andy Raleigh to play football this year. I said, hey, get out there, be a part of the program. You guys are going to have a great year. You should participate. I thought it would be a positive thing for him to get out there. And so far, you know, we've seen that. We've seen a physical presence from our players, a winner's mindset, and I think that's a carryover from the football program. And we've had it in basketball. We've had a lot of successful years in the basketball program. I think to add a successful run over the last couple of years in the football program has only helped our school and helped our athletes. And I always say, look, I don't care if this is a basketball school or a football school. I don't look at it that way. I want our school to be successful at what we do. I want these kids to be successful at what we do, both in the classroom and on the athletic playing field. So I think it only helps to have a successful football program.
Absolutely. Just a couple more questions. I know at Mission, over the time you've been there, you've had people around all different athletic programs with like professional experience, guys who've been around, who've you know, played professionally, who've been around, you know, high school, college, pro things. What have you learned from who are some of those guys, and what have you learned from them just kind of being around their programs, them being around your program? I mean, I'm sure coaches at the same school talk, right?
Right. You know, right now, two guys that we have on campus that I think have been really helpful, Horace Grant and also Titus Shelton. Titus is an ex-Cal Poly player. He's helped out a little bit. He's not there every day, but he comes in. He works with the guys. Sometimes he just does open gym with the guys, whatever it
does,
might
like
be.
Volunteer assistant.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a good guy to have around.
It's a great energy.
When I first moved back here, I remember I'd go to those games and I didn't like the way a lot of those guys played, but I love the way Titus played back at, you know, when he was in school, and kind of just the work
he's an
ethic.
Effort guy.
He's a total effort guy.
He's an effort guy, and he plays defense.
I love that.
He brings that to the gym whenever he's able to come. And then a guy like Horace Grant, you know, first of all, the physical presence, you know, he's a massive man. He's 6'10" and just broad shoulders, and but also, you know, a great a great asset. He's come to a few of our practices. He's really helping the girls program. He has a daughter that's in the in the program.
All right.
But he's come to a few of our practices as well. He's worked some one-on-one with a couple of our guys. And again, just to have that presence. And I've talked to him.
If you're a high school kid and Horace Grant comes and works with you, come on.
One of the 50, named to one of the 50 greatest team all time in the NBA.
Okay,
and, And now, you know, I've gone and sat and had lunch with him and just asked him, tell me about winning, you know, tell me about being a champion.
Yeah. That type of thing. How can you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And to have somebody like that around the program or just around the school, right?
Great resource. Yeah. Great resource. So the same has been true for our football program. You know, we have a like offensive line.
Championship rings.
Yeah. Offensive line coach. You won an NFL Super Bowl, you know, and you've got guys who have coached in the NFL or played in the NFL, coached in college. I mean, just to put that type of thing around your kids, you know, we've got some great experience. I also have, you know, Doc Jensen is one of my assistant coach at the varsity level, and Doc spent several years as a head coach at varying levels, at the varsity level, at the JV level, and just the years of knowledge and wisdom and understanding that he has. One of my buddies says he's probably forgotten more about basketball than you know. You know, it's like putting people around you that can really help to grow your student athletes and help them to learn and see things from varying perspectives, I think is something that we've done well at Mission.
Cool. Tell me about your schedule for the tournament. What are the times Mission's playing? When are you guys going out there? Are you playing like the second to last game, the last game of the night? What's going on there?
Yeah, we've got some evening games to start off with, hopefully that helps to get a little crowd in the stands and give our kids a chance to play under the bright lights, so to speak. We play Bishop Montgomery our first game, and we're gonna have our hands full there. And excellent team. Lamont Murray's son is on the team.
Okay.
They've got a great program, great team. It's going to be a tremendous challenge
Lamont
for us.
Murray's son.
Yes.
Oh, man. Now I'm feeling old again, Terrence. Lamont Murray, when he was like a freshman at Cal, right? He
played
at Cal. Yeah, when he was at Cal, I remember that.
Like, yeah.
Seems like I was in high school, maybe middle school. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
So that makes me feel old. Yeah.
We've got them. And then we've got Marin Catholic on Thursday evening. So our first game is 8 o'clock on Wednesday.
Now, and the tournament, does it go Wednesday through Saturday or Sunday?
Wednesday through Saturday.
Okay.
Wednesday's games do not count as a part of the tournament bracket.
It's just like a challenge game or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
We call it challenge night.
Between the two brackets.
Exactly. So we just pull guys from one bracket and the opposite bracket, and we say, all right, here's your matchups. And it's just the way, you know, these kids love to be able to say, hey, I played against DeMar DeRozan, or I played, you know, X, Y, and Z. So we do that the first night just to give the experience, and then we break out the brackets, and it's a little bit more equitable and teams that should be able to compete well against each other. So yeah,
especially for these teams that are coming from a long way away, get them in town.
Right.
Get them playing their first game.
Get them acclimated.
Get their legs under them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Great. Tickets available at the door. What's the situation there?
Tickets are available at the door. It's one price for all day, so you don't pay per game. You pay, I think it's an $8 ticket, and that gets
for
you
all day.
That gets you all day. There is a student price if you're coming from Atascadero High School, who's participating, Rigetti, San Luis High, or Mission Prep Kids. They also have a discounted rate as well. So we want to see students out. We want to see community out. We want to see as many folks as we can come and experience some great basketball and some good competition.
Awesome. Terrence, thanks a lot for coming on. Good luck in the tournament and good luck this year.
I appreciate you having me, Owen.
All right.
Good to see you, man.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.
Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision, and the people on the streets they beat me up till I'm blind.